This Pesukot, I had the pleasure of going on a walk with my mother, and together we learned Mishneh Torah, Hilchot Teshuvah, the laws of repentance. And we happened to come across Halacha 2 of Chapter 4, in which Harambam describes six paths of Teshuvah. This is your source one. Among the six paths are constantly calling out before God, to perform charity, separating oneself from object used to sin, changing one's behavior, and lastly, to travel in exile from one's home. Huh? He explains why. Exile atones for sin because it causes a person to be submissive, humble, and meek of spirit. This last path caught my eye. It would seem so different than the other paths. And thankfully, the book I was using had a footnote, which directed me to a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah 16b. This is your source too. In the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak and Amora lists four things that cancel someone's gezadim. The four things are charity, supplication, change of name, and change of conduct. Then the Gemara cites an alternative view, which believes the yesh omrim af shinui makom, even change of place. Dichtiv, as it's written, Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha. Right, we cite a pasuk of Hashem telling Abraham to leave his place. He's an example of such a person who left his makom. The last line of the Gemara should have us thinking. Who is Abraham Avinu? What makes him a paradigm, an Av? The Torah tells us nothing about Abraham's life story before we meet him, before Hashem selected him. Nowhere are we told, what did he do to merit this chosenness? The Torah speaks only of Abraham's future, but says nothing about Abraham's past. Shouldn't we know more about Abraham's past? The man who fathered the Jewish nation. In order to answer these questions, let's take a look at what the Torah actually says about Abraham. By paying attention to the fine details of the text, we will realize that the Torah is alerting us that someone and something significant is taking place. In chapter 11 of Sefer Bereshit, it discusses Migdal Bavel, and then we have the genealogy of Shem listed. Now, there's a recurring formula that occurs throughout the genealogy, and source 3, I gave you a few pesukim to show you what this formula looks like. Okay, so pesuk Yod Bet. V'arpachshad chai chamesh u'shloshim shana v'yoled et shalach. I'm going to say the formula. A lived for X years and gave birth to B. That pasuk follows that. Next part of the formula. V'hi arpachshad acharei holido et shalach shalosh shanim v'arba me'ot shana v'yoled banim uvanot. Arpachshad, or A, lived for blank years after giving birth to B and had children. Now this formula occurs 9 times, except the 10th time, in verse 26. Vayechi Terach 70 shana veyoled et Avram et Nachor veet Haran. Terach lived for 70 years and had 3 children, Avram, Nachor, and Haran. This should be ringing, bell should be ringing. Something's different here, right? We should be thinking back to Adam, who had 3 children, Cain, Hevel, and Shet. We should be thinking back of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Yefet. That's not it. Next pasuk, Ve'ele toledot terach. I could just stop there, because that's the phrase. Ve'ele toledot terach. This is the genealogy of terach. This phrase actually appears 11 times in Sefer Bereshit. Ve'ele toledot ha-shamayim ve'ha'aretz. Ze sefer toledot ha-adam. Ele toledot Noach, ele toledot b'nei Noach, toledot Shem, here, toledot Terach, toledot Yishmael, Yitzchak, Esav. Why is this phrase so significant? Because it actually is used to organize Sefer Bereshit, to organize different sections of text. And we should realize that the chapters and verses of our Torah were actually Christian origin. Charles Langton did it in 1227 CE. So in order to divide the Torah, you know, to show different sections, we either have a phrase that reappears a lot, so here ve'ele toledot, or we have parashiyot, petuchot, and setumot. So that's either a space at the very end of the line, or a space in the line itself. So far, okay, let's back it up. So far we have The three children of Terach are listed. We have Ve'ele Toledot, and now, third thing that alarms us, 10 generations have passed since the time of Noah. While this is not written explicitly, if you count the names, you'll realize that 10 generations have passed. And it's, okay, let's start from Adam. 10 generations later, we have Noah. And I would say Noah and Adam are both pretty important figures. Adam, first man whom God created. Noah, God chose to recreate the world with Noah. Noah represents a hope for a new beginning and a new future, connected with a new approach to the God-man relationship. Right? God made a berit with man, which precludes another flood. And now, 10 generations later, we should expect another major figure on the scene, namely Abraham. So now that we recognize that the Torah's language is written in such a way to alert us that a major development is underway, let us look at the details of Abraham's story. Pasuk Kafret, this is in source 4. Vayamot Haran al pene Terech Aviv be'eretz moladeto be'ur kastim. Haran dies, right, while his father is still alive. Where? In Ur Kasim. Why does the Torah, why is this detail important to us? Ur Kasim. Let's keep that question in mind. The next pasuk tells us that Abraham and Nachor get married. And in verse 30, we learn that, Vatehi Sarai Akara en la valad. Sarai is barren, she does not have a child. In the positive and the negative. Why is this the defining feature the Torah chooses to tell us? And then, next verse, Terach picks up with his family, heads towards Eretz Yisrael, makes a pit stop in Haran, and never makes it to Eretz Yisrael, at least he doesn't. And then, Pasuk 32, Vayu Yemet Terach, Chamesh Shanim Umatayim Shana, Vayamot Terach Becharan. We hear Terach's age when he dies, 205. But more importantly, Vayamot Terach Beharan. He dies. Now, why is that so important? Why am I stressing that? Because as we saw earlier, that formula of the genealogy was A lived for blank years and gave birth to B. A lived for blank years after giving birth to B and had children. We never hear that A dies. No other person on that list's death is recorded except for Terach. Why? And then, the next thing we hear in the Torah is Lech Lecha. Huh? What makes Abraham worthy of a divine command, which we will see will benefit him greatly? Great Beracha will come to him. What's going on here? If you look at Pasuk Aleph, at the next Perek, we see that Yudke Vavke appears to Abraham. The last time God appears on the scene is in Migdal Vavel. And now he appears to intervene and disperse the people. And now he's talking to Abraham directly, telling him to pick up and go. What is going on here? And if we think of Noah, 10 generations before, the Torah tells us explicitly why he was chosen. Noah ish sadik tamim haya bedoratav. Eta Elohim hitalech Noah. Noah is a righteous individual. The Torah tells us that. If you think of future leaders, Moshe, we know of Moshe's younger years. Shemuel, we know about him. But we hear no such thing about Abraham. It's this that Chazal noticed, the dilemmas that we just noticed, and they fill in the blanks. Therefore, we're now going to turn to the Mishneh Torah. In Hilchot Avodah Zarah, chapter 1, Harambam discusses the development of Avodah Zarah throughout time.
Did you say that Terach was the first time they used the word died?
Oh no, within that genealogical list, he's the first person.
What about a couple of pasukim before that when Haran died?
Oh, in that list?
In Pasuk 28, verses
32. Okay, one second, let me check it out.
In the same source 4.
Pasuk 28.
No, Haran.
Okay. That's a good point. It does say Vayamot Haran.
But
doesn't give the number of years, but
it doesn't give
died.
The number of years, but it does use the word
Vayamat. And thank you for pointing that out. You're right. It does say well, Haran Das.
You just happen to underline. You kind of
no, which is also no, but which is also important that we also hear in the Pesukim that Terach's son died and his grandson was still alive.
Right.
Which we're gonna have to we'll realize that the Torah is also picking up on something there. Lot.
Right.
Good point. Thank you. Okay. So now we're turning to Mishneh Torah. This is source 5a and 5b. But before we get there, so in Hilchot Avodah Zarah, Haram describes the development of Avodah Zarah throughout time. At first, man served the middleman, the sun, the moon, and the stars, as a means of giving honor to God, who created these great things, these great creations. But with time, that middleman displaced God. The Rambam notes that throughout time, there were only individuals that recognized God. Among them, Chanoch, Metushelach, Noach, Shem, and Eved. The world continued in this fashion until Avraham. Okay, now, in Source 5a, inside. Kevan shenigmal etanze. Once this mighty man was weaned, so that means age 3, he began to think, and he was so little. He was thinking day and night. He was wondering, how are the spheres turning and there's no one controlling them? Who's turning them? It's impossible that it's just happening by itself. This Avraham, this young child, had no teacher telling him this. He recognized it by himself. But where was he? Ella meshuka be'ur kastim. He was in the trenches of Ur Kastim. Among who? Ben of de kochavim, hatipshim, be'aviv ve'imo ve'chol ha'am of de kochavim. Everyone around Avraham was serving idols. His own mother and father, v'hu aved imahem, he was serving with them. Who could blame him? Maybe he's in such an environment. V'livo meshotet umevin ad shehisig derach ha'emet, and he continued to think and explore until he realized the truth. V'hevin kav hasedek, he understood the righteous path, metivunato hanechona, from his wisdom. V'yadash sheyesh sham elowa echad. Avraham realized there's one God. V'hu manhig ha-galgal, he's the controller of the galgal. V'hu bara et hakol, and he created everything. V'ein bekol hanimsa elowa chutz mimenu. There's no other God but him, this little child. You know, as he grows up realizing this. Ve'yada shekol ha'olam to'im. He knew that everyone else was mistaken. Ve'davar shegaram lahem nit'ot ze she'obdim et ha'kochavim ve'et ha'surot ad she'ivet ha'emet mida'atam. And what was causing them to live in this life of falsehood was that they were serving Avodah Zarah. Imagine living amongst people that were just not in touch with reality. Uven arba'im shana hikir Avraham et bo'o. At age 40, Avraham became aware of his creator. Kevan shehikir v'yada, and once he became aware and he knew, hitzkil lahashiv teshuvot. He would answer questions, al b'nei ur kasim, v'la'aroch din imahem. And he would have debates with them. V'lomar she'en zo derech ha'emet she'atem holchim ba. You're not on the right path. This is not the path of truth. V'shiber ha'silamim. And he broke statues or idols. I'm sure a lot of midrashim are popping up in your head right now, right? Smashing idols. V'etchil lehodia la'am she'en ra'ui la'abot ela le'eloa ha'olam. There's no other God to serve. This is the only God. Open your eyes. V'lo ra'ui le'eshachavot u'le'akriv u'le'naseach k'dei she'yakiruhu kol ha'beru'im ha'ba'im. And you have to serve this God. And this is not only about you. This is about the future generation. Your actions and belief have ramifications for future generations. V'ra'ui le'aved u'le'shaber kol hasurot k'dei she'lo yit'u bahen kol ha'am. You got to get rid of all of this worship, this fake idol worship that has no truth. Kemo elu shemedamim she'en sham eloha ela elu. Just like everyone was doing around him today, you got to stop this now. Kevan shegavar alehem bera'ayotav. Once he overcame them with his proofs, his arguments, bikesh hamelech lehorga. The king wanted to kill him. I'm sure you're also thinking of Midrashim now. Nimrod, did he want to kill Abraham? V'na'aseh lo nes, a miracle happened to him. Was he thrown into a furnace? According to Ramban, was he imprisoned? V'yatsa lecharan. So a nes happened to him and he went to Charan. V'tchil la'amod v'likro bekol gadol. And he started to stand and call in a loud voice, lechol ha'olam, to all the world. There is one God of this planet, this universe. We should serve Him. He would go and collect people from every city, from every country, until he got to Eretz Kenaan. Vayikra sham b'shem Hashem. We're going to see in our parasha, it says vayikra b'shem Hashem. Abraham was teaching people about God. Vekevan shehaya ha'am mitkapsin elav v'shoalin lo al dvarav. The people were gathering to him and asking him things. Haya modia lekol echad ve'echad kefi da'ato. He would respond to each person individually according to their abilities, their wisdom. Until he returned him to the proper path, the path of emet. Until thousands and myriads of people were gathering towards him. And these were the members of Abraham's household. Also, you might be thinking of when Abraham goes to Haran, the Pesukim tell us that he brought Sarai, Lot, his vechush, ha-nefesh asher asa b'Haran. Right, Asu v'Charan. And there, the Midrash tells us Abraham would convert the men, and and Sarai would convert the woman. Right, you see where Harambam is getting his words from. V'shatal b'libam ha'ikar ha'gadol, and he planted within their hearts this fundamental principle. V'chiber bo sfarim v'hodi'o le'Yitzchak beno. He composed sefarim. It's interesting if you look at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. 14b. It says in the Gemara, Gemiri de avodat kochavim de Avraham avinu dalid mea pirkei havyan. That Avraham had his own tractate of Avodah Zarah that was 400 pirakim. What are we trying to say here? Avraham was in his life, everything around him, everyone was worshipping idol worship. Idol. And he was able to really, you know, decipher those nuances. This was something he was fighting against. And he taught his son Yitzchak. And Harambam continues that Yitzchak taught Yaakov. And Yaakov taught others, along with his household. And he actually appointed Levi, he says, as the Rosh, the Hoshivo Bayeshiva, the head of the academy. Right? Lelamed derech Hashem v'lishmar mitzvot Avraham. He was in charge. We need to make sure that Torah stays in our family. So let's make sure we have a set teacher, Levi. And Jacob's family, Yaakov's family, and all those who gathered along with him were followers of God until we descended to Egypt and the Jews abandoned God, parentheses, except for Shevet Levi. But because Harambam writes, Mehavat Hashem Otanu, because of Hashem's love for us, Umeshamero et Hashevua, and because he was keeping the oath, the promise he made to Abraham Avinu, he says, Asa Moshe Rabbeinu, he made Moshe Rabbeinu, who gave us the Torah and the Mitzvot. So you really see here a development over time of what happened. And we see that Harambam codifies Abraham's ability to discover God and to have a connection to Borei Olam in the pits of pits, right? Meshuka Be'ur Kastim. From a young age, age 3, he was thinking. And now it wasn't only in his head, he was influencing those around him. He put his life in danger. He found truth and he wouldn't abandon it. So God decided to connect to Abraham seed and not abandon them. So really, Chazal and the Pesukim work hand in hand to provide a clearer understanding of the father of our nation. We read in the Pesukim that Abraham was from Ur Kasdim. And we asked, why is this important for us to know? Hanabam clearly explains that Abraham was in the trenches. He was in a place of idol worship. This little detail cannot be overlooked. Not only that was it a place of idol worship, Nahum Sarna points out that it was a major cultural center. By the time the Avot came on the scene, the land between the Tigris and the Euphrates was booming. Monumental achievements, intensive agriculture, foreign trade, you name it. And yet, Abraham picked himself up from this cultural center and, more importantly, did not allow his upbringing to interfere with his sense of truth. How many people do X because everyone else is doing it? It's much easier to follow the crowd. In his best-selling book, Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion, psychologist Robert Cialdini writes, whether the question is what to do with an empty popcorn box in a movie theater, how fast to drive on a certain stretch of highway, or how to eat the chicken at a dinner party, the actions of those around us will be important in defining that answer. It's so true. Social proof is a shortcut to decide how to act. And guess what? It's easier for the brain. You don't have to think. You see everyone else is doing it, so that must be the right thing. Idol worship must be correct. Everyone is doing it. You can fill in the blank with any word. Abraham's own family thought one way, and he was not afraid to think another way. So then, let's back up. Why not include Abraham's childhood in the Torah? Why not mention this part of his life? We see it was so critical. But perhaps the answer is that that's not the most significant part of Abraham's life for us, the readers, to know. What's significant to know is that Abraham picked up and he went. Lech lecha. He heard the call and began his journey. Abraham is always in transit, moving, and always growing in the most trying of circumstances, when he could have just thrown in the towel. We meet Abraham at age 75, and he leaves us, passes away at age 175. So it's the events of the latter portion of his life that the Torah chooses to focus on. It all starts with his journey that is by no means easy. For example, Abraham starts his journey while his father is still alive. Huh? You should ask me. Victoria, you just said, yeah, we just looked at the Pesukim, right? It says, Vayamot Terach. So, right? So what's going on here? But don't worry. The Pesukim also help us discover that he's alive. Source 6.
But it said he didn't see where he died.
Right. It says in the Pesukim that he died, but he didn't, if you do the math. I'll show you.
He
didn't die yet. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. So Terach gives birth to Abraham at age 70. Abraham leaves Haran at age 75. Right? 70 plus 75, 145. Abraham departs from Haran at age 75. So that's the last time he saw his father. So again, Terach was 145 when Abraham left Haran. And we know, we saw in the Pesukim, that Terach died at age, 205, say right, 60.
60 years.
Terach lived another 60 years after last seeing his son. Abraham leaves an aging father and his entire life behind him in Haran when he himself is not a young man. Abraham is willing to take the journey, his own journey. Yes, the Torah notes that Terach dies, but he didn't die, right? So why is it written that he died? Because we're starting a new journey right now.
The last time he
sees Terach, we're now going to be on Abraham's journey. We're about to see Lech Lecha. And with whom does Abraham take this journey? He takes it with his his family, including his wife, who the Torah clearly tells us was barren. Akara, en la valad. And he's promised a great nation. This really almost seems like a cruel joke. All odds were against Abraham. And it's so interesting, because if you look at source 7, if you look at the first three pesukim of Perek Yudbet, you see the word beracha appear 5 times. Things you would think are looking good. But nowhere does God tell Abraham how this blessing will come into being. While the Torah tells us explicitly that Sarah was barren. And the parasha continues. In Pasuk 6, Pasuk Vav, it says, Vaya'avor Abraham ba'aretz, ad mekom shechem, ad elon moreh, ve'akana'ani az ba'aretz. Abraham passes through the land until Shechem, until Elon Moreh, and the Canaanite is in the Aretz. The word used for Abraham passing is Avar, which causes us to think of Abraham as a tourist just passing through the land. And why? The end of the Pasuk tells us, Ve'akana'ani az ba'aretz. The Canaanites are in the land. There are residents living in the land of Israel. Abraham did not come to a barren land. And as a tourist, the Pasuk tells us, he comes to the place of Shechem, ad mekom Shechem. He doesn't enter the city, but encamps on its outskirts. Abraham followed God's command. He started a journey to a place that was unfamiliar to him, clearly not comfortable in just yet. There's a population living there. Not only that, in the next Pasuk, God appears to Abraham, and says, Lezaracha eten et ha'aretz hazot. And to your offspring, Abraham won't even see the fruits of his labor. He left his hometown and his father, and now he's a passerby, he's a wanderer in the land. And then in Pasuk 8, as we continue on the journey of Abraham, he camps between Bet El and Ha'ai. He doesn't plant himself in the city. He's on the borders of society. The outsider. And yet, Abraham, in this pasuk, it says, Vayiven sham mizbeach laHashem, vayikra b'shem Hashem. He still built a mizbeach and calls out in God's name. His faith is impenetrable. And after this promise, and he gets to this land, he's forced to leave the land because of a famine. And he goes to Egypt. And what happens in Egypt? His wife is taken. The woman who will hopefully give him his future seed. Abraham now has no land and no possibility of descendants. As Rav Elchanan Samet puts it, the famine took him from Canaan to Egypt, and Egypt has taken his wife. He has no way of knowing if she will return to him and whether they will ever return to the promised land. Thankfully, they do return. But their great wealth causes him to separate him from his nephew, Lot, his closest relative beyond Sarai. Though Abraham's wife was barren, Lot was the spark of hope, right? But when Lot sees the land and he reminds him of Eretz Mitzrayim, Kegan Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim, he decides to separate. Rav Samet points out, Egypt took from Abraham his wife, Sarai, but God returned her to him. Now, Egypt is taking from him also his nephew. One difficulty after another. Lot is then taken captive in war, and Abraham, the Ged, the stranger, puts his life in danger to save Lot. Again, Abraham, a man of chesed, cannot stand by under such circumstances. While he's promised a great seed and land in the Berit Ben HaBetarim, his wife is still barren. Sarai gives Abraham Hagar, and immediately she becomes pregnant and has a son. Will Hagar be the mother of our nation? Will Yishmael continue Abraham's line? Or will Sarai, at the age of 90, have a child? It doesn't seem likely that the blessings promised to Abraham will come into fruition. But Abraham goes. He picks up and follows God. He trusts in Borei Olam. though things don't look bright. Avraham's life is a life of movement. It's a life of challenge. It's a life of uncertainty, a life of growth. But most importantly, it's a life of Lech Lecha. Will the promises promised to him by God be fulfilled or not? Again, in chapter 22, Avraham is told the phrase Lech Lecha. This time, to Har HaMoriah. Right? Lech Lecha al Eretz HaMoriah v'haleu sham le'ola al achat ha'arim asher omar elecha. Avraham is now told to sacrifice his son. Right, Sarah, at age 90, miraculously had a child. And now Avraham is told to take away, to sacrifice his son. And the Midrash picks up on this language. In Bereshit Rabbah, Rabbi Levi comes in. He says, Amar Rabbi Levi, Shetei pa'amim ketiv lech lecha. It's the phrase lech lecha is written twice. Ve'en anu yot'im ezo chaviva. Im hasheniya, im hadishana. And we're hard-pressed to tell which of the two is more beloved by God, the first Lech Lecha or the second Lech Lecha. Continues the Midrash. Mima dichtiv el eretz hamoriah heveh hasheniya chaviva min hadishana. Since the text states to the Har HaMoriah, this indicates that the less is more beloved. Now what is the Midrash picking up on? It's hinting to the fact that the significance of Avraham's life are bracketed by these two singular moments. From the pits of Ur Kasdim to Har HaMoriah, it's the events in between those two things that uncover the dynamic process of Avraham's spiritual development and faith in God. These events are the building blocks that make Avraham the person he is. A growth-filled development that was not achieved overnight. It took many years to achieve. Avraham is tested over and over again. Now, we've all heard of Avraham's 10 tests, and we mentioned many of them today. It's interesting because the first time this verb, nisa, appears in the Torah, it's in relationship to Avraham. In Berit Ben HaBetarim. The pasuk says, "Vahi achar hadevarim ha'ele, ve'Elohim nisa et Avraham." God tests Avraham. Nisa et Avraham. What does that mean? God tested Avraham. That seems to indicate that God doesn't know what Avraham will do. For example, a teacher tests a student in order to see, you know, whether the student has understood and internalized the subject matter. We know that God's knowledge is perfect. God already knows the choice that Avraham will make. So what exactly is going on here? And it's for that reason that the classical commentaries prefer to connect the verb nasa with the word nes, which is a mast, a banner, or a pole. That it appears in the Torah in many places. For example, in Sefer Bemidbar, chapter 21, after the Jews complain, God sends serpents to bite the people. And the people tell Moshe, Chatanu, we've sinned. Ki dibarnu b'Hashem u'bach, hitpalel el Hashem. We've sinned. Please call out to God. Pray to him. Moshe calls out. He prays to God. And God instructs him to fashion a bronze serpent, a sarath, and put it on a nes, a pole. Why? So that the people can see it from afar and direct their thoughts heavenward to seek relief. When describing the Geula, Yeshayahu says in chapter 11, "V'nasa nes lagoyim," God will raise a banner to the nations. And he continues, "Gather in the dispersed of Israel." Today, when I say the word nes, what do you think of? What?
Miracle.
Miracle, right? So, what's the connection? Why? Perhaps because a miracle is something that's public, an obvious demonstration of God's intervention. Visible to all, everyone near and far, just like a banner on a pole. Now, thinking back to Avraham, what exactly was the purpose of his test? As we said, did God not know what Avraham would do? And we said, of course he knew. God's knowledge is not deficient. Just as a flag flies high on a pole for all to see, the actions of Abraham in our Torah are there for us to read. They serve as indicators for us to learn from. We explored the personality of Abraham from the Peshat and Derash perspective. We have seen how Chazal help us understand the Peshat by filling in what Abraham's past life was like before Lech Lecha. We have discovered a man of faith and determination when all odds were against him. Time and time again, Abraham remains faithful to God. Abraham Avinu is one of our Avot, the father of our nation, which makes us his children. As an Av, Abraham set the standards of behavior and faith his offspring must seek to imitate. Are we people of faith like Abraham? Are we simply reading Abraham's story? Oh, this is a nice story. Or as a life of an individual we must learn from? Though Abraham saw never saw the blessings promised him by God in coming to fruition, he never lost faith. Will we invest ourselves in something that will benefit others down the line, though we will gain no benefit? In other words, will we plant the seeds to a tree which will never eat its fruit? Are we thinking about the future of our people and what our community and the world needs to advance in the right direction? These are all questions that only we can answer. Mar Cheshvan has just arrived. The holidays are unfortunately no longer with us. I find that it's easier to introspect and to self-reflect, you know, during the Chagim in Tishrei. And as the year comes, you know, passes along, it's hard to remember what we felt then, you know, during Tishrei. Let's try to extend those feelings throughout the year, inspired by Abraham. And God willing, make this the best year yet. Thank you.